Acts, the 11th chapter, verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were first called Christians, were called Christians first in Antioch.
Glad to see everyone with us here this morning. If you're visiting with us, you are our honored guest. So happy that you're here. And I want to join Curtis in welcoming you and inviting you to be back with us at any opportunity that you may have. James just read for us Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. At the end of that particular passage, we read, and they were called, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now, we want to ask the question this morning, just who is a Christian? Is it the case that everyone who believes in God a Christian, or are all religious people Christians? Are good, moral people Christians? Just who is a Christian? Is everyone who calls himself a Christian a Christian? Does calling one a Christian make him a Christian? Are you? Gathered here with us this morning, are you a Christian? So things that we learned this morning from Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, and we're going to be noticing a host of other passages as well. But from Acts 11 and verse 26, we learned first of all, friends, that number one, a Christian is called by God. We read in Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 2, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name. This new name by which they were going to be called was prophesied all the way back in Isaiah 62, which the mouth of the Lord shall name, Isaiah finishes. Acts 11 and verse 26, and they were called Christians first in Antioch. Friends, a Christian is called by God. The call of God is illustrated in Matthew 2 and verse 12, where one was warned of God in a dream. And Luke chapter 2 and verse 26, we see that something was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit. That is, that he would not see death before he had seen Jesus. In Hebrews 8 and verse 5, here we have Moses being admonished of God that he was to make the tabernacle according to the pattern, friends. So our question now is, how is one called by God? As Moses was admonished to build the tabernacle according to the pattern, friends, we are called by the pattern that God has given to us today. We're called by His gospel. If we are to be Christians, we're called by God. In contrast with this, let's read Romans 8 and verse 30. Romans 8 and verse 30. We read in Romans 8 and verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Friends, what we learn here is that the called are justified. Those that are justified then are glorified. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12 that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. Friends, from Acts 11 and 26, we see that a Christian, number one, is called. From Acts 11 and verse 26, we learn that a Christian is a disciple. A Christian is a disciple. That word is used only once, the word disciple, in the Old Testament, Isaiah 8 and verse 16. However, in the New Testament, we find 237 times in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John alone the word disciple used. 237. It's used 31 times in the book of Acts. Now, I want you to notice here Matthew 28 and verse 19. We're familiar with that particular verse, what we label as the Great Commission. Jesus says there, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now friends, I want us to notice something here. The only imperative in that sentence is go and teach. Jesus says, go and teach. The ye therefore simply describes who is to go. Go and teach. And friends, what we learn there, if we were to go and look at the literal meaning of the Greek word translated as such, it literally means, make, go and disciple the nations. As they were to go and teach all nations, they were to go and disciple the nations, make them believers, make them followers. All the others are participles. Baptizing, teaching are participles there. In verse 20, that is. Now, a disciple is what? The definition refers to a disciple as a pupil, a student, a learner, a follower. So let's ask this question, friends. Do you study? Do you get your Bible lessons? Do you attend Bible classes? Do you know the Scriptures? A disciple is to know the Scriptures. Again, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. We're well aware what that verse says. Study to show thyself approved. Friends, a Christian is going to read his Bible. We talked about that this morning in Bible class. He's going to read his Bible. He's going to study his Bible. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman then is not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We read in Ephesians 5 and verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Colossians 1 and verse 9 says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. How else were they going to do that, friends? But to study His Word. To look at the Word as they ought to. Friends, a Christian, a disciple, is one who knows Christ. One who knows our Lord and Savior. Jesus said and prayed rather in John 17 and verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Philippians 3 and verse 10, we read there, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul says, and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Friends, a disciple is a follower, an imitator. Notice with me Ephesians 5 and verse 1. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. Notice what Paul says to the Ephesians there. Be ye, therefore, followers of God as dear children. Friends, have you ever watched a son mimic his father, and the father doesn't even know he's doing it? The dad may be doing something out in the yard. Oftentimes it may just be pushing a mower. And what do you find the little son doing? He's trailing along behind, pushing something behind him. Imitating. Following. Matthew 16 and verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, what is he to do? Jesus says, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 26, if any man come to me, Jesus says, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Learning something of discipleship. Matthew 8 and verse 19 states, and a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Friends, is that the attitude that we have? Will we follow Jesus wherever he may lead? We're familiar with the song, where he leads, I will follow. In other words, we're stating there in that song, I will do as Jesus did. I will follow in his footsteps. I will do my best to reproduce his life. Notice with me now 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. If we're going to follow in the footsteps of Christ, something is going to happen. Something is going to be required of His disciples. First Peter 2 and verse 21, we read, for even hereunto were ye called. Why? Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Friends, if we're going to be disciples of Jesus Christ, if we're going to be followers of Jesus Christ, we can expect to suffer in this life. Peter said as much. He warned us of as much. Romans 8 and verse 9, we read there, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, what is that Spirit? Jesus suffered. What kind of Spirit did he have? We are to be imitators of him. We are to be followers of him. Friends, he was kind. He was understanding. We need to follow him in his attitude, his tenderness, his compassion, his courage. And we see that Jesus in all these things was given to prayer. We need to imitate Jesus in all that we do. But probably the most powerful verse concerning imitating Christ, being Christ, letting Christ live in us, is Galatians 2 and verse 20. Oftentimes we sing this verse in camp. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Notice what Paul says here, friends. What is a crucifixion? It's a death. I am crucified with Christ. Christ died upon the cross. I am to put myself, my spiritual self, to death. He says, I'm crucified. I've put the old man to death. He says, nevertheless, I live. But I don't live, not to myself, but Christ lives in me and will continue to live in me. Hence the ETH on the end there, liveth. Christ liveth in me. Notice how he ends the verse. And the life which I now live in the flesh. His fleshly life, his earthly life. He says, I live it this way. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Ultimately what Paul is telling us there, friend, is that his life was dedicated to Christ. He was a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus. Friends, what a great challenge that you and I have if we are going to be Christians, to imitate the image of Christ. Notice with me 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, please. 1 Peter 4. In verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Friends, we learn again of what being a Christian is all about. Peter says here in 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, if a man is going to suffer as a Christian, he doesn't need to be ashamed, but rather let him glorify God in that suffering. Friends, a Christian then, number two this morning, a Christian suffers because he is, number one, a believer. One who suffers for Christ. Early Christians suffered because they believed in Jesus and they put their trust in him. They were persecuted for such. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 12. We read, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Friends, failing to suffer is caused by compromise. If we're not suffering for the cause of Christ, in some way, form, or fashion, persecution has not come upon us, then friends, it may be that we need to do a self-check here. But it can be caused by compromise, and compromise is a failure to confess Jesus in our lives. Notice what happens in Acts chapter 5. In Acts 5 and verse 41, it says there of the apostles that they left rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer these things in the name of Christ. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, It seems that Timothy had been suffering to some extent, but simply because of his youth. But notice what Paul tells Timothy, the encouragement that he gives him. He says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." Another translation says, "Have an example to the believers." In either case, friends, Timothy was to be an example, even as a young man. And he was to be an example to the Christians and of Christians in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Friends, if we are an example in such things, as Peter writes, we'll be strange before the world. And anything that's different, what does the world do? It's going to persecute. Friends, Christians must be different. A Christian puts his trust in God. A Christian glorifies God. He honors and worships God. We've spoken of Polycarp before. That faithful Christian that for 86 years had served the Lord, he said. And when threatened to be put to death, all he had to do to gain life was to deny Christ. And his response was, "These 86 years have I served my Lord. I will not deny him now." And as they put the wood around his feet and set him on fire, he did not begin to scream, but he began to sing praises to the Lord. Friends, he put his trust in God. He glorified God. Friends, a Christian is a doer. John 8 and verse 24. We read there that I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Friends, how do we portray our belief in Jesus Christ? It's by doing his will. In Acts 10 and verse 38, it is said of Jesus that he went about doing good. We read in James 1, 22 to 25 that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. A doer, friends, does. He doesn't sit by on the sideline. He gets to work, doing things for Christ in his church, in his kingdom. In Matthew chapter 7, we read a rather sad scenario. For Jesus says there that not everyone that crieth or saith unto him, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Friends, he's talking about religious people right here. He's talking about people that believe that he was Jesus, that he is Jesus. He says, "Not everyone that says unto me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But what? He that does the will of my Father." He that does the will of my Father. How do we portray our belief in Jesus Christ? We do his will. We do his will. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Friends, a Christian is a doer of his work. A Christian, friend, and the Bible refers to them as such, is a saint. A saint. Romans 1 and verse 7, Paul writing to the Romans, notice how he refers to the Christians here. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Called to be saints. Now there are some denominations out there, one namely, that says one cannot be a saint most of the time until after he's dead and he performed three miracles and so forth and so on. To all that be in Rome, how many of these Christians were called saints? Every one of them. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. Same thing, right? Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified, he says, in Christ Jesus, notice the phrase, called to be saints. When one is sanctified, he's made holy, he's set apart to the glory of God. He is referred to then as a saint. Friends, that doesn't mean that he is a picture of sinless perfection. That's not a saint. He's not a canonized spirit after death. That's not a saint. A saint is one that walks in the light as he is in the light. A saint is one is that does the will of God, that follows his word, and walks in his light. We read in Ephesians 5 and verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint's. Friends, because of moral lives that Christians led, they suffered. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If we are living godly in Christ Jesus, friends, we better believe that we're going to be persecuted sometime, somewhere, somehow. A Christian is to be a light. Christian is to be a light. Matthew 5, we're familiar with the passage here. The light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Friend, do we really understand the meaning of that passage? That we are to be a light to all those round about us. That they are to be able to see Christ in us. We are to be that shining example, so to speak. We are to have that influence for good. He writes to the Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 15, that you may be blameless. Friends, as a light, we are to radiate the beauty and glory of Christ. Christ also refers to those that would be his followers as salt. Matthew 5 and verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. Salt that's lost its savor, what good is it, he says? It's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trodden under the foot of men. Friends, the whole purpose of salt is to preserve, to enhance quality, to enhance the taste. The lost savor by unrighteousness, negligence of service. Friends, have we lost our savor? Or do we continue to be salt? Let's not compromise to avoid persecution, or else we'll be like the salt that he describes and good for nothing but to be trodden underfoot of men. Friends, a Christian is to be a soldier. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And 1 Timothy 1 and verse 18, they were to war a good warfare. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, he says, fight the good fight of faith. Friends, what does a soldier do? He fights. He endures hardness. Notice what Paul endured. Philippians chapter 4, 11 and 12. Not that I speak in respect of want, he says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. What kind of state had he been in? We can go to 2 Corinthians 11 and look at that, can't we? He had been naked. He had been destitute of daily food. Didn't have the proper clothing. Didn't have enough to eat. Paul says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Soldiers must endure hardness. Soldiers must fight. Friends, if a soldier is not expected to fight, why does Paul describe his armor in Ephesians 6, 11 through 17? What good does armor do to a soldier that's not going to enter combat? Not a thing. Nothing but dead weight. But to a Christian or a soldier that enters combat, it's a lifesaver. He's to fight. And friends, a soldier is trained, he's drilled in classes, his sword is sharpened. He is both to know how to go on the offensive and how to defend. He's to have courage to be counted and stand up. Does that describe you? Finally, let's turn to Acts chapter 26 and verse 28. Acts 26 and verse 28. Notice what Agrippa says after Paul's dissertation concerning the gospel of Christ. Agrippa says unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. Not quite, but almost. Friends, we learn from Acts 26 and verse 28 is that one who becomes a Christian is one that is altogether persuaded. Agrippa didn't become a Christian at this point because he wasn't altogether persuaded. The word Christian, as we read in Acts 11 and verse 26, tells us, friends, the simple adding of I-A-N indicates ownership of one that belongs to Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 14 refers to the purchased possession. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 23 says, you are Christ's and Christ is God's. Hence, if we belong to Christ, to whom do we belong? God. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, we read what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. Friends, if my body belongs to God, if I am a Christian and it does belong to God, then we need to understand that. It's His and not mine. I live for Him. Again, Galatians 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Friends, one who is changed or persuaded to be altogether a Christian. One who becomes a servant is a Christian. In Romans 6 and verse 18, we read there that we are made free from sin, but to become a servant then of Christ. Romans 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, and he goes on to say that we are to perform that which is our reasonable service. Romans 12 and verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in business, serving the Lord. Friends, are you a servant of Christ? In Matthew 20 and verse 27, notice what Jesus says here. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. We need to be humble enough to serve others. Friends, a Christian is one who becomes a steward. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Let no man account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Luke 19, 12 and 13, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Friends, they were to look over that. They were to be faithful stewards of that. Friends, God has entrusted us with something. He's entrusted us with His gospel. Are we faithful stewards in that? He has entrusted us, friends, with us to live our lives for Him. Are we a faithful steward in that? Friends, a Christian is one who becomes a child of God. John 3 and verse 5 tells us, we learn there that we are to be born into His family. We learn that God is our Father, that we are children of a King. We wear the family name which is Christian. A Christian is also one who becomes an heir. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 7 we learn of that. Wherefore thou art no more a servant but a son, and if a son then an heir of God through Christ. We have that great hope of heaven. And a Christian is one who can look forward and does look forward to that day. Do you look forward to heaven? Are you an heir of God? Who is a Christian? Is a Christian one of the good old boys? One that's a good man, a good woman. Is that all that a Christian is? Does just calling one a Christian make him a Christian? Calling oneself a Christian make him a Christian? Friends, there's so much more than that. We must do the will of God. We must obey Him. I want to leave you with a poem as we close this morning. If you'll be putting away your Bibles, be taking out your songbooks. Would I be called a Christian? Would I be called a Christian if everybody knew my secret thoughts and feelings and everything I do? Or would they see the likeness of Christ in me each day? Or would they hear Him speaking in every word I say? Would I be called a Christian if everybody could know that I am found in places where Jesus would not go? Or would they hear His echo in every song I sing? And eating, drinking, dressing, would they see Christ in me? Would I be called a Christian if judged by what I read? By all my recreations and every thought and deed? Would I be counted Christ-like as I now work and pray? Unselfish, kind, forgiving to others every day. Friends, are you here this morning and not a Christian? Having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ as He has laid it forth in His Bible, in His gospel. If you're here this morning having never obeyed the gospel as He has set forth, friends, why not now? Why not put Christ on in baptism? Do you believe in Him? In who He says that He is, that He came to this earth and bled and died for you? Are you willing to repent? Confess Him before men and be baptized, immersed in water to come in contact with that blood so that your soul can be made white as snow. Friend, are you here this morning having done those things but can no longer be called a Christian? Would you be called a Christian once more? Would you come home? Friends, if you would be a Christian this morning, would you come while we stand and while we sing?